You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, good afternoon. It's January 25th, Theta Protection Podcast here at Detroit Podcast, or Podcast Detroit, my apologies. Good afternoon. So once again, we're in the house. So unfortunately, we couldn't be here last week due to the weather.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Bananas.
But you know what? I'm going to be honest. I have no complaints with it being, I think it's almost 40 degrees today.
I'm with you. I ain't complaining.
Well, I'm just coming back from Georgia, so I'm like,
Maybe you brought this weather with you. Thank
man,
you.
Man, please. This was bad like this when I left, and it was the same stuff when I came back.
Man, it's January 25th, and it's 40 degrees. I'm not complaining.
No.
I want to get rid of that snow off the ground.
It'll be gone.
Yeah, it's leaving.
Just wait. It might be gone when we get out of here today.
Right. But yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's start off, Dan. Tell our listeners how they can get in touch with us out there.
All right. We are Athena Protection Service. You can get in touch with us at our website at athenaprotections.com. You can reach us on our 1-800 number at 800-951-4866. That's 1-800-951-4866. Or you can reach us on any social media platform, Athena Protection Service. And we offer security guard services, consulting, or any private investigations you may need.
And don't forget to hit that like button and that share button on YouTube for us. If anybody out there live streaming, thank you and hello. Mm-hmm. So before we get started, we got our resident guest in the house today, Mr. Marlin.
Hey, what's
How's
going
it
on?
Going?
Hey.
Always interesting when you're on the show.
I got a lot to say today, so.
I'm so surprised. Not something that we usually get out of you, This ought to be interesting.
Here we go.
Man, so before we get started, one more thing, and I apologize. I want to shout out our sponsor, Athena Protection Foundation. So Dan, tell the listeners how they can.
You can reach Athena Protection Foundation at any social media platform just by looking at Athena Protection Foundation or AthenaProtectionFND.org. You can reach us through the website or any social media platform.
Good. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about today, guys?
Well, it's pretty much a run and gun show today. First of all, I like to give a shout out to the Huntington Woods Police Department. They at least still recognize and respect police courtesy because on my way here, okay. And I think I might have been going 5 or 10 miles over. I saw the guy sitting in the parking lot. And I was
okay, hold up.
Hold up.
When we was outside, you said it was 5 over, now it's 10 over.
Five or 10.
How fast was you going, motherfucker?
I don't remember because I was looking at the radio because But anyway, I saw the guy. I was like, oh, shit.
Okay.
And sure enough, he pull out, get behind me, flick the lights on. Mm-hmm. So he run in the plate. So I had my police ID.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I was going to let you go anyway because you got a veteran's plate. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you got a police stick on the car. So we got to, you know, chatting it up for a hot minute and talking about the job. And then, you know, I told him I was coming in here. And, you know, because he's like, you going down to 11 miles? Like, yeah. And I came up here to play. And he's like, okay, well, you know, go on here, be safe and, you know, take it easy. I was like, yeah.
Good so, for him.
Yep, good for him. Yeah, and fuck Centerline Police. Y'all don't know nothing. Well, no, y'all ain't the police. Y'all public safety. I'm like, y'all get at me when y'all want to know how to be the real police.
All righty.
So, no, he want to hit on Centerline.
I won't be going through Centerline anymore. Just burn that bridge down.
Yeah, I don't hate Centerline Police, just any Centerline Police officers out there. I have not done anything.
Oh, well, you ain't got
to. Second, man.
You ain't got
to. Line, I love you.
You have done something. You black and you was the police. So, yeah, they hate that. Yeah.
But they didn't stop me.
Yeah.
So when they stop me, I might have a problem. But I ain't got nothing right now.
You ain't got nothing right now. But yeah.
Hey, don't burn that bridge. You see my car, black Nissan. Don't pull me over. We all good.
Well.
I know, right?
Well, no, they had two idiot supervisors, you know. Mm-hmm. One dummy. I'm asking for my stuff. He's like, where's your ID? I said, you got my ID in your lockup.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he's like, you don't have your weapon, do you? I said, you got that too. I said, man, I'm trying to go home, get my keys, and go to sleep.
Okay.
And I said, y'all have no idea how to deal with people. But, you know, like I said, I was going to say some other stuff, but my father was with me. I was just like, man, let's just get your stuff and get out of here.
Okay. You know, so. Let's be glad for your father. Give him a little hand for keeping you in check. Right. So you probably didn't get about, locked back up.
Exactly. It sounded like he was close to going back.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
But in all honesty, man, we don't want to come across. Well, I know I don't. I'll speak for me and us as a whole. Right. We're not here to bash the police.
No,
there
never
is that. Most definitely some work to be done, as exactly. Marlon is saying here, just with the way you handle situations. And I think, again, it's unfortunate that there's so much fear involved with some of these interactions, why these decisions don't come across as rational to us.
My thing is, you know,
fear, I think.
When I go with the thing with professional courtesy, it's like this. We all we got out here because you see how the media treats us.
Exactly.
You know, so you see how the media and the citizenry of whatever jurisdiction you live in treats you. Mm-hmm. We all we got.
Right.
And regardless of what color you are, because like I said, I hate to say it, it's 2020, mm-hmm. you still got white officers that can't stand black officers. And don't tell me you never saw that and you still don't see it.
If they can't stand black officers, they probably can't stand black people, period.
Well, yeah, that's true. But like I said, they hate.
I don't think it's just the black officers.
No, but they hating it. We got the same uniform on.
Uh-huh.
So that's what that is.
Okay.
Because again, we're not going to mention that, I've been to another suburban jurisdiction with another officer.
Mm-hmm.
And those officers said, your badge don't mean shit on this side of 8 Mile.
Okay, and so, that could be true.
Yeah. So
that's not a secret.
Yeah. So
they know that. You know that.
Oh, I know that. But I'm like, it's still, regardless of where you work, regardless of where your jurisdiction is, you some brothers and some sisters. Because like I said, driving, like what I noticed, and this was the first time I'd ever did it. When I was driving to pick my son up from Georgia, we had to go through, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina. And I'm looking as I'm driving down the interstate. All these stretches that are just dedicated to fallen officers. I said, goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
Officers dying left and right down here because I'm like, I saw a good half dozen.
Wow.
Right. I saw a couple of, you know, officers pulling people over. My hat's off to all those state troopers. I'm like, because they out there one-man cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pitch black.
Right.
Ain't no lights out there. There's these signs saying falling rocks, you know, don't stop on the side. So
man, that's the thing I don't like out there, those falling rocks.
I said, oh, my God. I said, and they out here stopping people. I said, man, y'all better than me. Right. So I wouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
Definitely. So what else you want to talk about, man? You say you had some stuff on
the plate. Well, it was the other incident. It was an article I was reading this morning that I sent to you about those bodyguards. Mm-hmm. Bounty hunters.
Okay.
Looking for the guy, shot into the car, hit him. Then I guess it was a woman and a kid in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is, I'm not trying to hate on anybody's job or anything, but I'm like, I can't stand those bounty hunters because, in my opinion, you know, either they wanted to be the police and couldn't be, or they were the police, did something stupid and got fired. So this is what they're doing. I'm like, who told you it was okay to shoot in the car? Then, you know, I guess they locked the guys up, which I'm glad DPD did that. I'm glad y'all did what y'all was supposed to, lock them fools up.
Mm-hmm. The bounty hunters were locked up?
Yeah.
Okay.
For shooting the guy in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what they were. I don't know what they locked them up for, because in the article it said they're taking something to the prosecutor's office. Okay. So I don't know what that could. But, you know. The attorney for the bounty hunters, like, well, if Mike hadn't did this, he might have got hit. I said, but okay, number one, you shooting into a moving car. If you shoot the guy, guess what? The car going to keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like I said, what happened if you'd have hit that woman or that kid? Then what would y'all have been saying, or what would y'all been doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, y'all not the police. Stop being the police. And as a matter of fact, I don't really know what the law is around here. I'm like, why are they even doing this anyway? And I'm like, if there's a warrant out for this man, that's what the police and the sheriff's department is for.
So that's as far as you know, they weren't returning fire. They were just
They weren't. No, what it was, I guess they're trying to say that the guy tried to run them over. That's going to be their story.
Okay,
that the guy was going to try to run them over.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but my understanding is they were hired by a bail bondsman company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
you know, so I'm looking at him like, okay, you going to have to just, you know, you going to have to eat it on that money. I'm like, that guy. Right. If there's a warrant out for this guy. He dirty today, he's going to be dirty tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He going to get got by the proper authorities at some point.
Exactly.
You know, and like I said, not all you've done, you know, you're going to have to pay for this lawyer for these two idiots. And like I said, you know, I can't stand them. Like I said, my interactions with them, was always negative because I was always to say, look, I'm the police. You stand back and watch me do my thing.
Why you hating the bounty hunters?
Because I just said, if you want to do law enforcement, go about it the way.
No, they want to be bounty hunters.
Well, no, they like you, and you heard what I just said before that either they wanted to be the police.
How you know that?
Because that's most of them. Either they wanted to be the police or okay. They were the police and got
that.
Fired.
You don't know that.
I bet money.
How much you want to bet?
I bet you $1,000.
I ain't got that.
We got our first bet of the new year.
I ain't betting you no $1,000.
Hey,
it's Monopoly money. Go ahead.
Okay, then I'll bet you that.
Okay, look, I'll get you a fifth of your. I'll get you a fifth of your favorite.
Okay, that's
okay. There you go. I'll get you a fifth. Follow.
Now we're talking.
Yeah,
to our listeners, gambling is legal in the state of Michigan.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a friendly bet. That's what we call a gentleman's bet.
Exactly. We just like to make sure we're abiding by the law here,
right?
Thing of protection,
right? Right.
But then the other thing, that other article. Where they're disciplining those firemen for taking a picture in front of the house.
Fire.
You know what? I'm like, so what? I mean, they were told not to go in the house anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want? What they supposed to do?
Not that, in my opinion. Just because.
But see, my thing is this: I've seen it done before, and again, this was.
Yeah, but you ain't see it on the internet. That's the problem.
Okay, that's what I was about to get to. But again, that was before.
Right.
These cameras and, you know, the social media. But my whole point is, and that's always been my argument, I'm not going to let that garbage stop me from being me.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, people sit – and it's these new kids and they didn't go through a whole lot of stuff that we did. Today's generation.
Before we go further, let's back up. So just in case anybody out there didn't understand, we're talking about the situation where we had the Detroit Fire Department.
Right.
Looked like it was probably 10, 15 plus firefighters out in front of a house that was in full blaze.
Right.
Just in case you weren't sure.
Right. Unoccupied.
Unoccupied.
Unoccupied. Right. They couldn't go in for safety reasons as far as I know.
Right.
Okay, and they took a retirement picture.
Yep.
Somebody was retired.
It was a battalion chief, had 35 years on the job.
Right.
And they took a picture.
Yeah.
You know, and now they trying to discipline these people.
I ain't got no problem with that.
Get out of here.
I don't know.
I just know the media is going to take that, which they've done.
They've twisted it and made it into more than what it was.
That's like Eminem and 8 Mile. They're just burning up houses.
And I'm like, that, you know, and that's what I'm getting. It's like, you know, today's society, they're soft. Because I was watching something on YouTube a couple of days ago. We all wrestling fans here. We used to be. I know. I you know.
Until I found out it wasn't real.
How recent wrestling fan are you? You still watch Monday Night Raw and all that right now?
No, I don't watch none of that stuff anymore. But I'm just, you know, on YouTube, I watch the videos on the old people, like, you know, Ricky Dragon Steamboat, the Road Royce stuff.
Piper's Pit.
Piper's Pit. Yeah, right.
Okay.
But no, they brought up some stuff like things that were done back then couldn't be done now. And I'm like, they couldn't be done now because today's society is a bunch of punks and sissies. Because what I was watching was, you remember that wrestler, the
That's
one
what
man?
I love when they come to the show.
You know,
one man gang?
Yeah. They were talking about how he switched from being the one man gang to being that Akeem, the African Dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were saying, there's no way in the world you could do that character today. People will be out in front of the WWF's offices protesting. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so what? It's a fat white guy wearing a dashiki and an African hat.
White people in Africa.
There's
white people from Africa.
Right, but you know,
quite a few in South Africa.
But like I said, but if they were to do that character today, you know, there would be some kind of uproar.
What about Adrian Adonis?
Hey, that's
he
what
was I'm, a gay,
right,
was
right,
the gay wrestler.
Yep, the flower shop. Remember? Right, you know, I was like, him. Yeah, I was like, you know, there's no way in the world you could pull that character off.
Right.
But I'm like, it's just that who cares? You know, I said that's just crazy. A lot of stuff that we saw as kids, they just couldn't do now. And I'm just like, we turned out fine from looking at all that stuff,
right?
You know, some of it probably was racist, and it was all in fun. You know, that's what I took it.
People just wasn't as sensitive back then.
That's my whole point. Everything. You know,
And we've talked about it before. I think what happens is because now everyone's always had an opinion, but now you have an opportunity to voice your opinion through the different, as we talked about so many times, social media things. So that's all that changed. You know, I think, you know, about when we talk about back in the day, so many things that I don't miss, I'll say. you know, growing up, I'm going to tell my age, but I remember us getting our first microwave.
Oh, I do, too. So. Yeah. I remember when TV went off.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't on. Or like I said, I remember when cable consisted of you either had on, it, or HBO.
Oh, no, we didn't have
cable
off.
Back then. We was a little poorer than you.
Right.
Yeah. I ain't had no cable in the 80s.
Your people live down the street from me.
That I didn't live there.
But you was there.
I was over there sometimes. They had cable. I ain't had none.
So most definitely fast forward. You know, I remember as a kid watching the Jetsons and thinking, man, that's so awesome, some of those things. And here we are in 2020, not quite 2062 as the show was representing. For those who didn't know.
How did you know that?
How did I know that the show came? Yeah.
They did
the show
research.
Came out in 1962. And they actually were 100 years in the future.
So. Oh, I didn't. I was unaware. And,
so that's what the Jetsons. Because well, here lately, people with the...
Well, no, they had a documentary on it, so that's how I found out. So.
You watched the Jetson documentary?
I have no life.
All right.
But, you know, for us to be in 2020 and the technology that we have now, it's a lot of that technology that I love. You know, I have my hates for some of it, but, you know, it's a lot of it that we can appreciate and love. So... We're not going to bash at all.
Well, we don't have a flying. Well, no, there are flying cars. We just can't afford them.
What?
No, I said, I said, we don't have flying cars. But I said, there are flying cars. It's just we can't afford them.
What flying car?
Look it up online. There's a lot of them. I mean,
there's
not like
a few out there.
There's
a few out there.
All right. Y'all on what fucking websites y'all going on seeing flying cars?
Just put it in there. I mean, it ain't like the Jetsons where you got the little putt thing in the back. I mean, these cars have rotors and all that, you know, it drives and you got to flick a switch. Then they come down and go up and it flies for a couple miles.
I mean, just the technology. Think about something like FaceTiming, you know. That was the craziest thing. Watching Get Smart back in the day and the shoe phone. And now 8-year-olds have phones.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But most definitely, there's things that are beneficial from it. I love some of the technology. Can't knock it.
Right. I ain't knocking it.
But you think about the, somebody was laughing. I was joking with him, laughing around. We was talking about how back in the day, because there was no social media, man of the house could have him a whole nother family just on the other side of town and didn't have to worry about them running into each other, nothing. Now, you know, you go over to your little side piece and she want to put you on social media while you sleep, look at my boo sleeping so comfortably. Like, you know, damn well, that ain't your boo. That's such and such husband you got over there. So.
It was funny. It was again, I was watching
something. She might not know that, though.
She know. Yeah, she know.
But now it was funny. I was watching YouTube again this morning. I was watching my favorite comedian right now is Earthquake. That guy is fucking hilarious.
I love Earthquake.
I love Earthquake.
So they were doing an interview with him, and he was talking about his time in the Air Force. And I guess they were in some kind of formation, and they were calling people's names. And they called his name. He stood up, and another guy stood up. And, you know, they looked at each other, and then afterwards they got to talking and then found out they was brothers because they had the same father.
Wow.
And what it is, I guess the guy had like 27 kids, and he named all the kids, the boys, after him, Junior. He had, you know.
I think he had 27 juniors?
Well, not he had
the
he
thirds
had sons
and fourths and
yeah,
all
well,
that?
I don't know how many sons, but yeah, he had a mixture of sons and daughters. But he had 27 kids altogether.
Okay.
Wow.
And then, like
with
I said,
every different woman, he had a junior.
How Earthquake explained it was his father would tell these women that the kids that he was having with him, that was his first kid.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
So, all right.
Oh, yeah, that makes it better.
But I was like, I don't think you'd get away with that now. That, you know.
No.
Facebook and all this other nonsense. And then I just said, wow, you know, this is crazy. This is crazy. But, not, you know, social media is the devil as far as I'm concerned. Right. So, or I'll be nice. It's a blessing and a curse.
It is. Talk about my man at the bank.
What's going on with the guy at the bank? He tried to rob it? What happened?
No,
he tried to rob it.
It was this guy. He had three settlement checks because I guess he had sued his job and got three checks.
Yeah.
He went to a TCF bank.
Why did he sue his job?
Racial discrimination.
So he was being discriminated against on the job.
Yes.
And won the suit. Okay.
Yeah. So he was going to deposit three checks that he got. And they
at the TCF bank he had been at for 2 years.
2 years.
Okay. And he robbed it?
No.
No, he didn't rob it.
No. He just didn't have funds in the accounts or nothing they would think was substantial. I think he had maybe $60 in the account.
But he was wanting the cash check and just walking
out with the cash? He wanted to deposit. He wanted to open a savings. He wanted to put money in the account that he had.
Makes sense.
He wanted to open a savings account, and he wanted to deposit all the checks. And I think, no, he wanted $4,000 in cash.
Okay.
So,
sound pretty simple to me.
The teller takes the checks. I guess she found something. She said she found something fishy with the checks. Go gets her manager. The manager talks to him, trying to placate him. While in the background, somebody's calling the police.
Wow.
Police get there and they want to accuse him of, you know, bad check. You know, he explains the situation, you know, why he got the checks, this, that, and the third. Long story short, you know, he decides, nah, you know what? I'm closing my accounts. I'm going to Chase Bank. He went to Chase Bank up the street. They took the checks, no problem.
Wow. So sound like to me, you cashing the lawsuit check. Let me get this right. So you cashing the lawsuit check for discrimination.
Yes.
And get discriminated against.
Yes.
So now he's getting ready to get another check.
Yeah. So he sued TCF too.
Yep.
Hey. If that ain't justice, I don't know what is.
But the funny thing is, they were trying to say, "Well, no, the teller and everybody did the procedure. The checks showed up void, and this wasn't racial. I believe the teller or the manager, one of them was black. So I guess,
at
that point, everything was okay. I said, man,
but he called the lawyer and had the lawyer send the paperwork over to the bank, proving that it was a real check.
And that's unfortunate because I know when hell I'd have went through all those steps to give somebody some of my money, give you my business.
Right.
That would be like begging McDonald's to take your money at the shake machine ain't working. The filet of fish is bad. And oh, get out of here. He was begging them to take his money. See, that's where we got to stop. I'm glad that justice will be served, but we got to stop begging people to do business with us.
Yeah, you should have got up and left.
Okay, here we go. Let me see. How much money was it?
No, they didn't say.
No, they did. They gave a list of. No.
They said it was an undisclosed amount.
No, he had
the suit for.
No, he had. Well, they didn't give how much he got for the lawsuit. They just gave how much he had in them three checks.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, see, this is a different article. So now that stuff is gone. But I'm like, they were three rather large. I know one was like for about $50,000. I think one was like for maybe $30,000, another was like about $15,000.
Damn.
So, asking for was $4,000 out of some quick math, over $70,000. Mm-hmm. And he only wanted $4,000.
Yeah, he wanted to deposit the rest, and he just wanted $4,000 in cash.
Yeah.
All right.
Hats off to him. We're going to have to try to see if we can do some digging and maybe get him on the podcast and talk about that situation. That's unfortunate.
It is.
That's horrible that goes on in the 21st century. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I got one for y'all. School Under Fire by the ACLU using a program called Gaggle. And Gaggle,
I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah. Gaggle, this program monitors student activity looking for signs of bullying, suicide, or violence. So the ACLU is trying to say that it's invading the privacy of the users. But in my opinion, if you're in school, you should have no expectation of privacy on school property.
Exactly.
So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, hell, I remember being in school and, you know, every so often the police would come through sniffing the lockers looking for drugs.
What school you go to?
Benedictine.
Oh, okay. They had a lot of drugs up in there. This was in the 80s, right in the crack height. So y'all were selling a lot of crack in there.
It was a private school, man.
Y'all was buying the crack.
I never saw none of the stuff. You know, I'm just assuming, like I said, that was a private school with some privileged kids. Mm-hmm. If anybody was doing something illegal, they was doing it wrong and they were just trying to be tough like some idiots they saw out in the street somewhere. It wasn't it wasn't nothing real.
Oh, okay.
As far as I remember, you know, so.
I think I used to play basketball up there.
You know, but see, like, again, that's another thing where society has, you know, taken authority from school. Like I said, the person up in them schools was the vice principal, and ours was this mean white guy named Mr. Mack. And I was like,
Mr. Mack.
Everybody was scared of him. Right. You know, but see, now, you know, these kids, they have no fear. You know, they run their mouths, what you ain't going to do, or blah, blah, blah. Then your parents come up there. Instead of assisting the people that's watching your kids for a majority of the day, you getting on their case. You know, so.
Well, overall, I hear the program is somewhat successful.
Okay.
Stopped about 700 suicides or intervening in suicide attempts or people that wanted to commit suicide.
Okay.
Over the last year.
But you see, again,
and they want to stop this program?
The ACLU do. They think it's an invasion
of
privacy.
The ACLU wants to stop everything. You know, yeah. I think they involve themselves in too much to, mm-hmm. you know, something, you know. And then, like I said, but, you know, bullying, I'm like, my God. Again, that goes back to what I said earlier. This generation is soft. Because I remember, I'm not going to say his name. But
they're a reflection of the generation prior.
Well, I said, clearly we fucked up somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I'm just trying to think. But, like, there was this one kid. We fucked with him from the sixth grade all the way to the 12th
and
grade.
And he ain't try to stab none of y'all?
Well,
school up?
No, that senior year,
uh-huh.
we was messing with him in the bathroom. He had a briefcase. Mm-hmm. Pulled out a butcher knife.
Okay.
We left his ass alone after that.
Okay.
You know, but.
Why we got to get that far?
But the fact that, but that's where it got to. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, he never killed himself. Actually, the guy's pretty successful right now.
Okay.
You know, so I'm like.
I hope you're not trying to say y'all helped him.
I'm not saying that at all. But I'm all just, right. What I'm saying is, as badly as we fuck with him, what did I say?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like what? 8-9 years.
That's a long time.
Consecutively fucking with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he didn't kill himself. Didn't feel suicidal or nothing.
Well, only had to deal with it during school hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, you know, you go home, you got to deal with it on the internet.
Well, no, actually, he kind of had a fucked up home life as well, but not to the extent of what we were doing. But
so some
y'all of that
just
was
terrible. All right. I get it.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest with you too. I mm-hmm. think some it come from, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and you know, had different views on life in general. Mm-hmm. I know Dan and I coming from the large family that we come from. Our mother and my mother and his father being brothers. 15 of them in the house,
right.
And ton of a. Ton of grandkids in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We played what we call the dozens, whether it was, you know, something as basic as talking about somebody's second toe being longer than their big toe, or somebody burped and it smelled like rotten eggs, and we any little opening, we go at you and you get it. You fry the egg and it wasn't done all the way. When you bit into it, yolk squirt out.
Fart contest going.
So I say that being in that big family, only the strong could survive. So we always attack the weakest link, and the weakest link, we demanded that you fend for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In this day and age, you know, a kid say, oh my God, you're fat on social media, and now... And again, I'm not justifying it, but nowadays that's such a sensitive thing, and you're bullying. They're even accusing parents of bullying their own kids and shaming them by saying things like you know, you're overweight or this, that, and other. And I know when I was a kid, if you told me that I was fat, I'd immediately respond that your mama fat, and I wouldn't let it faze me. And I'm not saying that everybody can just do that, but I think coming from different type of backgrounds, you take things differently. But I have to agree with you, Marlon, because I already know what you're going to say. We have gotten soft in a lot of things. But again, like I said, I think part of that is because everybody, you know, now kids, you know, not just getting it from family members, being in a big family, you know, they're getting it from everybody at school and not knowing how to react to that, you know.
Well, I'm like, you know, I'm like,
think we need to come up with a how to play the dozens course.
Well, I look at it like this, you know, a lot of things my parents did with now or your parents, it would be considered child abuse now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember my mother beat my ass with a pennant flag, and I had... Mm-hmm. And I had whelps on my legs.
You said with a what?
A pennant flag. You know, like one of them little sports flags that you used to hang up on your wall in your room and
stuff.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. You know, and I had whelps. She put Vaseline on my legs and made me
before
go to school.
Before or after?
After.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, man, that's kind of sick. She did it before.
No, after. But you know, I'm like,
signs of the limb. Get the lotion.
Yeah. But you know, in this day and age, they'd have took me and my brother. CPS would have came to the house if they'd have found out about that, took me and my brother. And, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, I said, I don't necessarily condone it. I understand it now that I'm older, but I'm like, you know, that made me who I am. You know, I wasn't, you know, I got in trouble, but not to the extent of a lot of these kids where the police never had to come to the house. Mm-hmm. Well, here's your son, you know.
Right.
Every once in a blue moon.
Yeah, a certain level of values.
Every once in a blue moon, the school would call and say, you know what, Marlon fucked up, this, blah. You know, and that was it, you know.
Yeah.
But these kids, it's
yeah.
I don't know.
The good part of technology, though, and the advancement, and when we think about it, you know, a lot of the kids that went through, you know, the what we thought was just discipline,
mm-hmm.
The you know, always being devil's advocate here, or devil's advocate. The flip side to that is the kids who don't know how to handle conflict without violence,
mm-hmm.
because that's not how they was taught as kids. When you did something wrong, you got a whooping for it. So
mm-hmm.
if you and I can't agree that, for example, X, Y receiver in the NFL, AB, I won't say his full name, needs help and is appearing to be an idiot. Mm-hmm. You know, if you disagree with that, you and I would, you know, go back and forth for a few rounds, but then, you know, one of us would punch the other one in the face because
right.
when you get in a conflict, which really is just a debate on mm-hmm. whether or not you agree with that individual, we don't know how to, you know, come to a resolution without violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what unfortunately was happening right. with a lot of the kids. They related it to that. So
right.
that's just my devil's advocate on it. I'm okay. not taking away from our society being right. soft right now, but
right.
that's most definitely something that I can somewhat agree on. But
mm-hmm. let's see. Then let's see, what was that other thing with the chief of police wants to sit down, well, he already has, with them kids that stopped up
Detroit.
94, you know, with that drifting or drag, whatever they was doing. I'm like, nah, he wants to find somewhere safe for them to do that kind of stuff. I'm like, so for the last 15-something years, they done did that all over the city, drag racing, you know.
Oh, it's been longer than that.
Well, I'm just saying,
French Road back in the day.
Well, no, I'm just talking about, you know, just during my law enforcement career. I'm like, yeah, it's gone on a lot, you know, because like I said, I remember my father doing that stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, nah, I'm like, well, let's find somewhere for them to do it safely. I'm like,
they want to monetize it.
I said, well, I guess that's it. Because I'm like, what you mean? I'm like, you know, we got called out to this stuff because I'm like, they doing this stuff in people's neighborhoods, people trying mm-hmm. to sleep.
Right.
You know, you got the girls out there shaking their ass, they out there drinking, you know, mm-hmm. all this other stuff, doing all this crazy stuff. You mm-hmm. know, and then when the police come, they want to scatter. Because that's the other thing. One of the guys from the group, they was talking, we're tired of running from the police and getting our cars taken. Stop doing what you ain't supposed to be doing and you ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, like I said, I think if we could, not we, but if a location for those type of things, because it needs to be some safety involved. I know mm-hmm. I was looking at it, never mind the fact that he literally stopped traffic, but mm-hmm. I was just looking at the way it was being filmed and, you know, I'm like, man, I don't know how nobody got hit out
right.
there or,
right.
you know, somebody didn't lose control and you know, hit another car or
right.
most definitely hit a person. That was my biggest concern.
Right.
But it can't be in the middle of the lodge.
No.
Even though I enjoy going to street racing on Levinois and Tire Man, or
mm-hmm.
I won't tell all the spots.
Well, yeah, we
I'm sure the authorities know where they are.
We know where
on
they
the
are.
East side of French Road,
yeah.
75 and mm-hmm. Clay, you know, bike night, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, most mm-hmm. definitely some.
Right.
Some safety concerns out
right.
there, but just, you know, I think it'll be a good idea, me personally, if they can come up with a location.
Oh, yeah.
But again, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to get commercialized. It's
yeah.
going to have regulations, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that that's unnecessary for safety reasons.
Yeah, that's the proper right.
But,
problem.
You know, if you want to get out there and race your car and, you know, you want to bet and
mm-hmm.
you know, bet for titles and all that,
yeah,
I feel like you
see,
need to have some place yes. where
see, now you got me
that.
Thinking off into one of them conspiracy theories. I'm like, okay, so what's Craig's agenda for, you know, he trying to be like, he's the mediator for everything. So I'm like, you get done with this police work. I'm like, you trying to look at all I did in Detroit and blah, blah. Wait, what you trying to, is that what he trying to do? Just get a
in my
resume.
Opinion, just from the way he came in, and you know more than I do, you guys, I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry, have an opportunity to work actually for him or with him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys know more, but I always felt like he had a bigger agenda. And, mm-hmm. and Detroit most definitely is a right. stepping stone. Mm-hmm. All I would ask of the man and continue to make the city look better. And I feel like
he's the deputy mayor, so.
The city, right. The city as a whole, I feel like for me personally, it's a little mm-hmm. bit safer.
Yeah. Well, the only thing with that, you know, Alex, I like some of the things he's done, and there's some things I don't like. But I okay. feel when they initially hired him, city council didn't do their homework because I saw it, and I haven't been able to find it since. Because he always puts up the fact when he was a Detroit police officer. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
I'm like,
he wasn't the police that long.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah, you got hired. You got laid off at 3 years on the job. Now, everybody that's the police know you don't stop being a rookie until you've gotten at least 5 years on. Mm-hmm. So he got laid off at 3 in Detroit and went to Los Angeles. That's where he learned how to be the police in L.A. Not to, you know, so stop saying you didn't stay here long to be DPD.
Right.
You got laid off.
But honesty. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Mm. 3 years on DPD, and that's where you can stick your chest out, to me, is the equivalent of 10 years anyplace
that's
else.
That's probably why they hired him.
That's probably why they hired him. But until you really 5 years in.
And now, I understand what you're saying.
You get comfortable enough to where you don't have to constantly call for help for a supervisor. Mm. And you can pretty much handle the runs on your own at that point. You don't always need assistance.
But let's say in Centerline, your favorite place. How long is it taking, in honesty, for a rookie to truly be the
10th precinct is 100 times larger than Centerline's the size of a shoebox.
That's my point. Yeah. You know, when you're in a big city like Detroit,
right?
Because I've always, you know, heard that as a DPD officer, you know, it's like playing basketball in New York. If you can be a DPD officer, damn it, you can go anywhere mm-hmm. in the world and you're going to be looked at as the top.
But getting back to what I was saying with Chief Craig, okay. what it is mm-hmm. like I said, where I feel the city council didn't do their due diligence, or they were just like the hell with it.
Right.
It was either Channel 4 or Channel 7 back in the 80s.
Okay.
They did a story where they interviewed Chief Craig and two other officers
okay.
that got laid off from Detroit and went to other departments. They interviewed the chief while he was a sergeant in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and two other officers that left and went to Dallas. And what I remember about the whole interview was, you know, they had the chief. He was in the scout car patrolling, and they had the news people in the back. He was talking about how he felt a whole lot safer in L.A. than he did here. He said he would never come back here unless they made him chief of police. And, you know, he just, to me, it kind of felt like you bad mouthing the place that just hired you 30 something years ago. You know,
if they're paying you $200,000+, that's some incentive.
But I just thought it was, my whole thing was, I thought it was ironic that like maybe 30 something years in the past, he said he would never come back as a chief. And then bam, what happened? They made him chief.
I've been married twice. So obviously, my thoughts on that is a little different.
Right.
You know,
I never thought I'd do it again. And I damn sure don't want to do it.
But, you know, I was like, you know, to me, as being a Detroit officer at the time, or, you know, a resident of the city, I'm like, I kind of took that as an insult.
Offense.
I'm like,
you
dog in the city, but here they done hired your ass. They done rehired you. And then this time, now you the top dog. But 30 years ago, you dogged this place.
Right.
And I'm like, maybe it was because you was mad because you got laid off. I'm like, okay, well, you the short man on the stick. You and a whole bunch of other people had to go.
Okay.
You know, last one hired, first one fired. That's how I go.
When I think about myself
30 years ago and my mentality is almost like when I think back to decisions I was making as a teenager or in my 20s, you know, maybe going out to L.A. and getting more time out there. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not taking up for the man. I just know that when I look back on all of the chiefs we've had, you know, I feel like the city has went in a better direction. But not to take up for him, I'll say just in general, I feel like people grow.
Right.
And if you had a mic in front of me 30 years ago recording my views on life,
women,
crime and anything else.
Well, see, right. again, but see, they said, yeah, okay, we can say that, but he was a sergeant, so he was a supervisor. Right. So I'm like, come on, let's show a little decorum, you know. So
exactly.
I'm like, okay, so yeah, you not only were you the police in LA, you were at that time you were a supervisor. So come on, because he always wanted to throw his supervisor under the bus here. I'm like,
we're going to have to get James Craig on the show.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, that'll
if you're out there listening, we want you on the show.
That'll never happen.
No, man, we're getting bigger every day.
Right. But, you know,
might
I will
be sitting right there next to you.
The best chief I think we had, or he at least was trying to, and they didn't give him a chance, was James Barron.
Okay.
Saltfield chief.
No, that's.
Who was that?
I believe that's his son or one of his relatives. But no, James Barron. No, the Southfield chief is Elvin. I don't know if that's his son or nephew, mm-hmm. but I believe they're related.
Okay.
James Barron, because he came in at a time where the department, that was like right after that Jerry Oliver debacle, you know, mm-hmm. the department's morale was just at a low. And I got to say, you know, I wasn't trying to do nothing out there. You know, I was just coming to work. He actually motivated me to go back to doing, you know, proud to be the police and go out there and do police work. But right. they, you know, that's when Dave Bing was the mayor. They didn't give him a chance to, mm-hmm. you know, do anything. I mean, he lifted morale up. I'll give him that. I believe they let him go. I don't mm-hmm. know if this is true. I don't even know if I want to say anything, but just, I guess there was some money earmarked for the department and mm-hmm. the city government wanted to do something else with it. And Barron was like, no. This money's going to be is for the department, and that's what we're going to use it for. Right. And I guess they didn't, you know, like that answer. So, you know, when it was time to get rid of them, they did. But, you know, I was like, he made your police department, you know, because mm-hmm. everybody I talked to was motivated, and the laziest motherfuckers out there was motivated to go back to doing work.
Wow. All
right. So I'm like, if he was able to do that, he was doing something right. That and the fact, you know, at that time, my uncle had passed, and he didn't know me. But he actually sent my father a handwritten letter apologizing for the death of mm-hmm. his brother. And, you know, I took that to heart, you know. So the man will always be tops with me just for that. I'm like, he didn't know me. Yeah. He didn't know me or my father.
That's awesome.
And sent my father a letter. That's so, cool. you know. So right.
a couple really things nice. I want to cover real quick before we leave. CPL holder shot a robber and warned.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I heard 3 a.m. about that.
This happened Wednesday night.
There's footage of that, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody ring was
see, I don't
activated.
Like the, yeah, I don't like them ring things, but yeah, go on ahead.
I don't know why, but here we go. The ring was activated. You hear multiple shots going off. My man went to go see a show or something.
Yeah, he was coming home from the movie.
Pull up to the his driveway, 3 in the morning. The guy run up on his porch on him.
Okay.
He see the guy coming up with the pistol. He pull his gun out.
Okay.
They exchange multiple rounds.
Yeah,
and you
that.
Can see on the ring video, my man go down, try to get up, and dude fire more shots at him, and he go down again.
Now, was this the victim that went down?
The victim
down,
was going down.
Okay.
Yeah, the robber.
No, the suspect went down.
The suspect going down.
So he
go and jump back in the car. The Warren police hear the shots going off and end up chasing the guy. And they end up finding him in the car shot two times.
All them shots, he only got hit twice?
He only got hit twice.
That's how I be sometimes.
But you know when that adrenaline go off.
Exactly.
You just get the shooting.
And I'm just, you know, fact checking here. So, mm-hmm. wow, that's interesting. Like I say, I saw some footage of it. I wasn't sure if it was the victim or the so-called...
No, it's the suspect that's in the hospital.
Suspect or the homeowner that was... Mm-hmm. going down, because you could even hear it too. He was saying, he even was telling them, which you idiot or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was saying something to him like, you know, get down. It was almost like he was trying to warn him, if you keep it up, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I wish they would open up that little substation they got 24 hours. That might help if they stop some things.
Right.
But
these green lights ain't stopping nothing. What make you think a substation gonna stop something?
Well, Warren is a little smaller than Detroit for that. And then, like I said, and why I'm just saying that because it's across the street from my house. I would just prefer
you
for
would
them
like
to,
for what
to be open 24/7. Okay. You know.
So advocating. As we get ready to wrap up today, most definitely, shout out to that CPL holder for you know, standing his ground. And I will say I was concerned about the amount of gunfire that was going back and forth. Where were those bullets going? We talked about it when we
talked about
classes.
That once before. Yeah.
Right. So that was a lot. If only two of those bullets hit him, both of them were firing back and forth, I'd be safe in saying there were well over 10 plus shots fired. Mm-hmm. And if only two hit, that's a lot of bullets flying around in the neighborhood.
Yes, it was.
So CPL holders, shout out to all of you out there. If there's anyone looking to get a CPL, we're most definitely available for that.
That's something we're going to talk about another
show. These things in the class. But as we wrap up here today, first off, I want to thank you, Marlon, for your your insights.
Hey, on, I love it. I love it.
Current affairs, and I really appreciate your input and getting your view on kind of inside the DPD from your time there as well. Well, you, Dan, but
my warped view.
As we get ready to wrap up here, tell our listeners and any viewers how they can get in touch with us.
Again, you can get in touch with us at AthenaProtections.com. You can reach us on our 1-800 number at 800-951-4866. It's 1-800-951-4866. Or you can reach us on any social media outlet at Athena Protection Service.
All right. And don't forget to hit that like button and share.
Please do.
But hey, guys, thanks again for an awesome show.
One more thing before we go. Multiple missing persons last week. I want to just real quick, there was five missing people? In particular, there's the one that was missing since July. The mother thinks that there's some kind of human trafficking, probably more likely a prostitution situation where she was groomed by somebody. The teenager, the girl was 16 years old. Her name was Amaria Hall, 16. Okay. Mother thinks that she was groomed by somebody online, and the girl ended up running away.
You talking about the girl that was in Hamtramck that they found in Toronto?
No, she is from Trenton. And her mother is concerned. There is a reward for $7,500 that may lead to an arrest for her. And you can reach Crime Stoppers at 1-800-SPEAK-UP if you got some information you want to collect that money.
All right. And more than just the money. Let's get that young lady home safe. But
that's
we out of time here today. Thanks again, everybody. Podcast Detroit.
Same time next week, same channel.
Yep.
No, that's right. We out of here.
All right.